All right, everybody. Welcome. A special edition of the Iran Brook Show, the post-Antifa, post-Antifa show. So I guess many of you know that today Antifa disrupted and physically attacked an event that was supposed to be, that was hosted by the King's College Libertarian Club at King's College London, with myself and Sargon Avakad, or Carl Benjamin, as his real name happens to be. The event was supposed to be Carl really and me discussing objectivism, where Carl would raise some questions and some objections that he has and some issues that he has with the philosophy of objectivism. I was going to answer those questions. And we were going to have a conversation primarily focused, it turns out, on ethics. This event's been planned for a long time. It's been in the books for a long time. KCL, King's College London, Objectivist Society was hosting it, and they had gotten permission from the university. About a week ago, a condition was placed on the event, and that was that if we're going to do the event, we would have to have safe space marshals, to make sure that we didn't offend the audience, and that if we did offend the audience, they had the potential to shut down the event. This is after reviewing both my history and Sargon Avakad's history, primarily Sargon Avakad's history. They decided that we might be offensive, and therefore they needed safe space marshals. As a consequence of that, the event had to be moved from a Sunday to a Monday, and we accommodated all of that, and we're fine with all of that. We weren't fine. It required quite a bit of logistics on the part of those organizing the event to get it all done and to get it all managed. But everything was fine, and the students explicitly received permission from the administration to tape the event, to record it. We were going to live stream it. I was going to live stream it. Sargon was going to live stream it. Over the weekend, some leftist protesters, primarily from those student organizations sympathetic to the Palestinian causes and other leftist causes, primarily Palestinians, decided that they were going to protest the event, and they put up a Facebook page. 149 people, I guess, clicked like on the page or clicked going to the page. They created an event page on Facebook, and I posted that event page on my Facebook page. You can see it there. I think as a consequence of that posting, the administration at King's College got very nervous, and this morning let us know that in spite of the fact that we had close to 300 RSVPs, many of whom were people off campus who were coming onto campus, some of whom were taking trains in from outside of London to attend the event, that they would not be allowed in, that only students and faculty members at KCL would be allowed into the event. I know that the kids who are organizing this and the members of the Ayn Rand, oops, I'm doing this without glasses, and members of the Ayn Rand meeting group fought the administration on this, but there was nothing really they could do. The administration ruled on this. I know that Danny, who runs the King's College Libertarian Club, was on the phone for a long time with administrators at the university and could not get them to budge. I arrived at King's College at around 5:30. The event was scheduled for 6:30. It was hard for me to get in. They had to call up, and somebody came and met me. And they took me to what they call the green room, which is, a little classroom right at the end, hidden in a corridor. And they basically placed a guard outside. And every time I opened the door to see what was going on outside, because there seemed to be a lot of noise going on, this guard would say, no, go back inside. We're here for your safety, which I thought was pretty weird. I mean, I've never been treated like that at a public event. I've always been allowed free access. I'm not afraid of these students. Anyway, I got no communications, nothing. Sat in this room for about 45 minutes before Sargon or Carl Benjamin arrived. The administration came in, they explained the rules, and now the rules had also shifted to the fact that we cannot record the event. So no recording, no live streaming of the event. Outside, in the corridor, there were demonstrators, and some, it was clear that some of the people inside the lecture room were clearly demonstrators, and it was interesting that they kept moving around in their seats. They kept getting up and moving as we started the discussion. Students kept moving around the room. About 12, 13 minutes into this, and Carl and I are talking. We're talking about free speech because that's the obvious thing to be discussing in an event like this. And administrators are sitting there, and there are security guards outside. Suddenly, we heard a real ruckus outside, a lot of noise coming from outside. And suddenly, from the one side, the door burst open. At the same time as it burst open, the students who had already been in the hall, about 7, 8 of them, stood up and started yelling. And then these thugs, Antifa, covered in black masks, covering their faces, rushed on stage, tried to grab Sargon's mic. But really, kind of rushed on stage, were yelling a little bit, but nothing. They didn't do anything. They didn't punch us. They kind of walked around. You can see the video. The video, by the way, is on my YouTube channel. I posted it on Facebook. I posted it on Twitter. So you can see the video of them just mulling around kind of on stage. I'm standing, looking around, yelling at them. Look, these are the real fascists. Look at the real fascists, silencing speech. Other than giving me the finger, I got nothing, right? The same. So we have about a 3-minute segment up on my YouTube channel. Please subscribe to the channel if you go there. We also have it up on Facebook and on Twitter, all linking to the YouTube channel. There are also lots of videos out there. You can find them on Twitter. You can find them on Facebook. There's also a story now in the Washington Examiner. There's also a story in libertarianhome.com. The interesting thing about the Libertarian Home story is they were outside the event. And outside, they say there were no protesters. And suddenly, these thugs came along and they jumped over the barriers. You have to go through this security clearance when you get into the university. They jumped over the barriers and they jumped the security. They kicked and they punched the security. So actually, the only people who were really injured during the event were the security guards. The administrators got pushed, got shoved, got kicked. You could see that the administrators were really shaken up. Now, my view is, at the end of the day, this was caused by the administrators. The administrators succumbed to the pressure from the leftist groups by restricting who was at the event, by restricting the ability to record the event. The administrators often did not provide enough security. There clearly should have been a lot more security. There should have been police there, given the history of Antifa and given everything that happens. One of the things that these thugs did is they had smoke bombs, and they threw smoke bombs in the corridor when they broke into the lecture room in order to distract. The smoke bombs also set off the fire alarms. So the fire alarms are going off the whole time. So you got the fire alarms going. Everybody's yelling. Everybody's screaming. At the end of the day, the event was shut down. The event was shut down primarily. Now, the Antifa guys mulled around, and then the audience started really beating up on these Antifa guys. I mean, literally, a couple of guys in the audience really gave some of these Antifa guys a real beating. I mean, they were bloodied. They left. They were cleared out by the administrators and security ultimately. But then we were cleared out because of the smoke alarms, because of smoke bombs, because the alarms were going off. And administration basically shut down the events and canceled the event because they claimed because of the smoke alarms. Now, the whole building was evacuated. Think about this. This is a multi-story building that is the main campus of King's College London, a major university in London. And the building was entirely evacuated. We were led, Carl Benjamin and I were led through a back door and led out the building, and the rest of the building was evacuated. The good part of it was that after we evacuated the building, we kind of got together with a bunch of people who were at the event or people who actually couldn't get into the event because they weren't students and were actually standing outside waiting to get in and couldn't get in. And we landed up, one of the guys there volunteered some office space that he had at a WeWorks. WeWorks is like a shared office space facility. And we went there, and everybody kind of sat around, about 30 people. And Carl and I did the interview, and Carl interviewed me, and we had a little bit of a debate, a little bit of a discussion about Ayn Rand's ethics, focused primarily on ethics. Took a few questions from the audience. All of that will be up on my YouTube channel and on Carl Benjamin's YouTube channel tomorrow, once he gets the video, I guess, edited and processed, and we'll put it up immediately, so you'll be able to see the positive outcome of the whole thing, which was me and him having a conversation about ethics. I mean, he is no objectivist. He is. I don't think I convinced him about objectivism, but of course, he's still early. He hasn't read Atlas Shrugged. He hasn't read a lot of Ayn Rand, so who knows where he'll land up? But he is resisting self-interest. He is resisting rational self-interest, and doing it. I think which I think is unfortunate. But we got the debate done. Unfortunately, 200 plus people who signed up to the event didn't get to see it. 200 plus people, about 200 people weren't even let into the room. I know that emails went out in the morning to let people know that they wouldn't be able to get into the room, so that everybody arrived. So a lot of people didn't come into London even for the event, so at least they were spared that. Look, this is another example of the complete bankruptcy in our campuses, and the fact that campuses today don't even have protection for the events that they approve, that they, let student organizations have. It wasn't that this event was vetoed. They did make it difficult for the students. They did change the rules on us constantly. They did succumb to pressure from the leftist. At the end of the day, not that many leftists showed up. So even though there were 147 people who said they would come for the leftist protest, almost none of them showed up. Again, the Antifa group was about seven, eight people who were in the room already. I'd say mostly girls, and they were pretty peaceful, yelling and stuff. And then these thugs, maybe seven, eight, black clad, black covered, nihilistic, fascist, leftist thugs. And the fact that the university, now I'll give you this, the administrators were shaken up. There's no question that they were shaken up. They apologized profusely. They invited us both back to campus. They said they would reschedule the event. They said they would provide security in the future. We're going to actually take them up on this, and we're going to do this again. I'm certainly going to go back to that campus and see what happens. It turns out that a lot of the ruckus about this event was created by these pro-Palestinian groups, and they were inspired by what happened in Exeter last year, where again, pro-Palestinians tried to shut me down at Exeter. You can see the video. I don't know. I never really felt threatened in the sense that my perception of these people is that they're cowards. They pretend, but if you stand and you just face them, and they're not going to do anything, because they're just too cowardly, they're too afraid. These are not, they're good with creating havoc and create the disruption. But it was, it was insane, crazy. It's creating a lot of media buzz. It's creating a lot of buzz on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube. I guess that's good. Gets a little bit of attention. Not that I wish this on anybody for the sake of attention. But it was, it's passed. I'm fine. Nobody hit me. Nobody really touched me. I mean, there's a little, you'll see in the video, there's a little, I get pushed to the side a little bit, but I think that was just in the mayhem of things. I've been attacked by leftists before. This is not my first encounter. I've had people arrested in my talks. I've had Islamists there. I don't know. I don't find these people and these things intimidating. I think that people who resort to violence are impotent. They don't scare me. They don't really, maybe it's just me being delusional, but that's the reality. I don't know. What else can I tell you about the event? I think that there's a positive outcome in the sense that we had the conversation with Sargon. Again, people are talking about, what do these guys represent? What do these people represent? They don't represent anything. So a lot of people saying these are communists. They're not communists. I mean, Communism is a compliment to these guys. They're way worse than communists. These people are nihilists. They're pure and simple nihilists. They want to destroy. They want to knock down. They want to disrupt. They want to, and they're really powerless. So they have to put on this big charade and this big, you know, masks and this, you know, they have to do smoke bombs. They have to do all this stuff. Because they have nothing, and they represent nothing, and they stand for nothing, and they're fighting for nothing. There's no some of utopian society that they believe in. They don't believe in anything except smashing anybody who opposes them, anybody who has an opinion, anybody who stands for anything. And it's not like they're pro minorities. If they were, or pro women, or pro gay rights, or pro-transgenders. If they were pro-transgender, they would be pro-Israel and anti-Palestinian. If they were pro-gays, they'd be pro-Israel and anti-Palestinian. If they were pro-women, they'd be pro-Israel and anti-Palestinian. They're not pro-anything. They hate Israel because it's successful. They hate me and Sargon because we stand up to them and we're successful. They hate the universities because the universities are there to teach knowledge, and they don't believe in knowledge. They're postmodern punks. They're postmodern nihilists. All they care about and all that motivates them and drives them is hatred. Hatred of the good for being the good. They're the essence of envy. They're the essence of hate. They're the essence of destruction. They stand for, Ayn Rand called it, they stand for zero. She has an essay in which she talks about the worship of zero. These people worship zero. They worship the negation of value. They worship the absence of value. They worship the abyss, the dark abyss. They hate existence. They hate reality. And they play that hatred out into the world. That's who we are. They're the nihilists. This is the enemy. And the enemy's not them. They don't worry me. They don't scare me. They don't bother me. They are nothing. They are nobodies. The enemy is the administration. The enemy is the soft left who tolerates them. The enemy is the right that, to counter them, adopts the same kind of tactics. Right? You saw it. Somebody emailed me and said, or texted me and said, well, at least the alt-right doesn't silence people. You should watch CPAC and what they did at CPAC to a Cato scholar who tried to raise the issue of maybe immigration was a good thing. See what they did to him. You tell me the right can't be as disruptive, can't be as silencing as these guys. The enemy is not the wackos, not the fringe, not the people who resort to violence. It's the people who let them, or the people who respond to them by adopting the same racist, nihilistic attitude. That's the real enemy. The enemy is the professors. The enemy is the moderate and middle of the road, nobody, nothings, who endorse this and who sanction it and allow it to happen and who won't stand up against it. And the enemy is both right and left, the people who are trying to attain power rather than these. I mean, these people will never attain power. They will go nowhere. Zero. They worship zero. They are zero. And they will achieve zero power. The people who will achieve power are the people who frighten me. The people who frighten me, because they're more subtle, yet they're more dangerous. Okay. That's my story. That's what happened tonight. I'm back in my hotel room, as you can see. Everything's fine. Nobody followed me, right? We had a nice dinner afterwards, you know, at least what the Brits call a nice dinner. The food in pubs sucks still. And the fight goes on, right? The only way to combat these bastards is to keep fighting. The only way to combat these bastards is not to lay down your weapons. And the real weapon we have is our intellect and our speech and our the product that we produce. So you keep fighting, you keep speaking, You keep talking, you keep reasoning, you keep thinking, you keep studying, you keep improving yourself, and you live the best goddamn life that you can live. That's your revenge. The revenge in all the bastards in the world is you living the best goddamn life that you can live. So subscribe to my YouTube channel, support me on Patreon or PayPal or ever any way you can. We continue to fight. You continue to fight. We will not give in to nihilists. We will not give in to middle of the road, just incompetent administrators. We will not give in to violence. We will fight on. We will speak on. We will continue to hammer it away. I will go to another school tomorrow, another high school tomorrow, and speak to who am I speaking to tomorrow? A boys' school, an all-boys school, and then on Wednesday I go to another all-girls school, and we will keep on bringing Ayn Rand's ideas of rational self-interest and individual freedom to young people all over the world, and we will win in the end. We will win because all they have are masks and stupid slogans and a fist. Hey, I can take a fist. Bring it on. Right. All right. I'm gonna go to sleep. It's midnight. I have an early morning meeting. I have an early morning meeting, and I have to get to the school and a busy day tomorrow. I will see you next time I broadcast. I'm not exactly sure when I will broadcast. Oh, we've got Julio Alejandro, is on Facebook. He's the guy who organized the space for the talk afterwards. So thank you, Julio. Big thumbs up to Julio. We don't always agree. Julio and I argue sometimes, and we've debated, but he really came through today with a solution, and facilitated and made it possible for Carl Benjamin and I to really have a conversation that will go up on YouTube, and I think we'll get a lot of views, partially because of Antifa. So Antifa might land up promoting, causing more people to listen to the ideas of Ayn Rand than anything I could have done without them. So I guess I should say thank you, although that sounds too awful and hollow. All right. Have a good night, everybody, or good day, or whatever it is over there. And stay strong. We keep the fight, and we will win. No question about it.